We're back. Today we're going to talk about victory over the devil and evil, another fear issue. And in some ways, why is this in this class? Because it is healthy. It makes sense to be concerned about the devil.
First Peter 5, verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
So, in one sense, a helpful concern is important.
Right.
But there are people who are stymied in their life, their walk. We knew many times people in our ministries over the years. I remember this one woman who was tempted by the devil to commit suicide. And it was only after she was released out of that fear of the devil and the devil's foothold that she was able to move on. So we do know that this is an issue. Fear is definitely. But there's also a sense that there's a healthy fear.
You need to be
realize
aware.
That the devil is real and temptation is real.
Right.
And if you think that, oh, I don't have to worry about the devil, that's not healthy, because the devil, in fact, is a roaring lion, as we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Right.
Now, there's also fear of evil presence in the devil, and even in the psalmist, we read.
Yeah, Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
So the victorious life, the victorious relationship, the Nike, overcoming the victory in Jesus Christ, is really the foundational piece, and his presence with us is the trump card, so to speak, the power of God in us. God dwells in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So in many ways, we don't have to fear evil, the devil. At all, while having a healthy concern, because he's going to tempt us. I mean, he tempted Jesus, and he tempts people, and you see people stymied today by his temptations in this world. You don't have to go very far to read the news media and go like, whoa, there is serious delusion going on. But as a Christian in Christ, fearing the devil is not really what we're into.
Right. Because we need to be aware of Satan's schemes, as 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11 says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes.
Let's talk about that first. So, like C.S. Lewis, the Screwtape Letters, writes about Satan's schemes in a very creative book. Are you saying, and are we saying, that Satan has schemes in each person's life?
Yeah. Yeah, the Bible clearly does tell us that.
I mean, the Screwtape Letters, we get the image that there is actually a demon in charge of a person, so to speak. Again, this is in a fantasy.
Well, this is his creativity.
His creativity.
A creative view of looking at it. How could this be a possible way?
To understand. And it does really feel that way sometimes. And you experience that. Because whatever your weakness is, and every human has weakness, it seems as if the temptations of Satan are very personalized. Like one person has absolutely no proclivity or no propensity for one certain sin. But there's another sin that's the thorn in the flesh that the Apostle Paul talks about. And Paul even says the messenger of Satan. So there... You know, though we don't exactly know how it is, we are aware that there are schemes, and it appears that these schemes are personalized for each of us. And then the victory over that personalized scheme in Jesus Christ is the victory, and I always look at the double layer victory. When you trust God to overcome a scheme, you really depend on him more. But when the scheme is still being played out on you, you know then you are weak, then you are strong, so you don't get arrogant or hypocritical It seems like that right. one area right. God allows, we read in Judges that God allows testing to go on, and Satan, okay. the accuser, mm-hmm. the liar, he's called the accuser, the father of lies, continues to lie to the human race. Mm-hmm. And as C.S. Lewis and Paul right. about the thorn in the flesh, it seems like there's a personal attack. And so yeah. then, as we're close with the Lord, the closer we're with the Lord, the more we become aware of the devil's schemes.
Right.
And then in him, he is, you know, we don't have to, like, look for a demon under every rock then.
Right.
We know that he has schemes.
Right.
You know, right. but it is fascinating. Now, here's yeah. here's one of the common schemes. So for a married couple, mm-hmm. if someone's married and then one of the spouses deprives the other of sexual satisfaction, the Apostle Paul picks up on that scheme.
In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5, do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control.
In a lot of ways, philosophically, this is a passage that speaks to a lot of things, not just
yeah.
the marriage bed.
Right.
Why should Christians be very interested that our neighbor is fed?
Right.
Why are we generous? Why do we care about that? Because basically self-control, you know, that Greek word there is sort of the flesh and how the flesh operates. Well, if you're hungry, Satan is going to go there and, you know, create envy
right.
in someone's mind.
Right.
If you're hungry in a marriage and feeling deprived, that can create all sorts of problems. Now,
right.
this is not saying that you are not responsible if you act on that.
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
But
it's just being aware of each other's needs and making sure that.
Right.
Keep
that there is such a thing as needs.
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
and when, and that's one of the things, mm-hmm. you know, when he went to Jesus and tempted, ultimately, you know, Jesus was hungry.
Right.
So where does Satan like to attack? Right on things like that.
Right.
If someone's married and it's a sexless marriage and they want to be married, of course Satan's going to attack there.
Right.
You know, if someone's need is affirmation, social affirmation, he's not going to be moving in another area. He's going to go where that hunger or that, you know, that's...
That need is fed.
Right. So in a lot of ways,
yeah.
We are called... what I mean a lot of ways, in every way, I guess, mm-hmm. we are called to watch out for the schemes of Satan.
Right. We are not unaware, and to make sure we're not unaware, we're to be aware and beware.
Now,
don't, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a minister, you can help people, as well as yourself, mm-hmm. become more aware of the schemes.
Yes.
If you can get that place of the transparency. Like we're told, when someone sins, confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. You know, one of the officiant roles of a minister is to help people sort of get to that transparency. And when someone is confessing a sin, and that sin is confessed again and again, then you can help them see, no, that's the scheme area.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. but we don't have to, you know, we are forgiven in Jesus Christ, there's therefore no condemnation.
Right.
So we have no condemnation in Christ, but we still are aware that we are a work in progress and growing, and when we do know of a weak area or a messenger of Satan or a thorn in the flesh,
right.
It both helps us to stay humble,
yeah.
but also keeps us in dependency on the Lord.
Yes.
And so the schemes of Satan are not just your inability to stand up against temptation. It also includes making sure the environment is correct. So like if you're in a marriage and you have many struggling points, get help from a minister or help. Because in the end, there's some things that Satan, you know, it does attempt through environment. For instance, if you're watching horror movies and see a lot of satanic stuff, it's as if Satan shows up there, it's, you know, all of these things all kind of relate together.
Garbage out.
Well, it's so true.
Well, opinion.
Well, no, I agree. Hey, look,
don't fill your mind with that.
No.
That's evil. It's not. There's nothing wholesome or good in there.
Well, a lot of people will, like, oh, we're going to watch a horror movie and get scared. And then, but again, it's like all of a sudden you put yourself in a position, you know, if you're in a marriage and you put yourself in the position of frustrating each other, Satan shows up. If you're, you know,
putting yourself in a position where you're watching evil.
Evil shows up. I mean, the same can be said of pornography. The same can be said of watching the news on television.
Yeah.
It can be said. It's as if
everything.
The idol.
To be very careful. Yeah.
Yes. So those are the schemes of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not just that we struggle with our sinful nature.
Right.
There's also a struggle with evil. That in Jesus Christ we overcome, and it's overcome, and we are in the process of overcoming.
Right. Yep, because we have victorious weapons. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds.
So it's first of all interesting that there's an acknowledgement in the Bible that the devil, the evil one, prowls around, like it says in 1 Peter, seeking someone to devour. And there's an acknowledgement that there are weapons for us to fight the arch enemy of God, Satan. But we also know in Revelations that he's been hurled out of heaven. We also know that he has limited his power because Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead. So we know, based upon a lot of scripture, that his impact is seriously diminished, and we don't have to fear him. But we also respect the fact that we are in this world, and he's still roaming the earth with his demons.
And it is a fight. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world.
Right. And a lot of times, if you're in a conflict with someone, or you'll see conflict, there will be another example of where all of a sudden the devil shows up to get that to be worse and to then create gossip. And then you get preoccupied. Mm-hmm. The bitterness sets in. And then you often can make it about that person. You know, that person is so bad. But we also read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Would you read that passage where, you know, it really says that our fight is not against flesh and blood.
Right. In Ephesians 6, I'll start with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Okay. So we're remembering who we're standing strong in.
Yes, we do.
Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
Mm-hmm.
Those ones that we are not unaware of.
Yes.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
So it's not against that person you're bitter at.
Right.
Or your spouse or a family member.
It's not
member
against
or,
flesh and blood.
Right.
Right.
Right. Or but even a persecutor. You could be in the area of persecution.
Right. He's just a tool in the devil's hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These are schemes. Yeah.
But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand.
Now, it's the day of evil there, too. It's saying that we're all going to face whatever that is.
Right. Yep. And we want to be able to stand.
Mm-hmm.
Stand firm, then. So this is how we can stand firm.
Right.
With the belt of truth buckled around your waist.
Okay, so it's ever there. So the belt of truth is your study of the Word of God.
Right.
The truth.
Know the
truth. Not the lie.
Know the truth.
Yes,
know God's Word.
Yes.
Have it in your heart.
I mean, we're losing biblical literacy quickly in the world, and it makes sense that the devil is just having his way because people don't even know the Bible anymore. I mean, you're here because you are interested in ministry, or an active Christian interested in the truth. And I mean, don't let go of that. Become a lifelong walk her with the Lord every day, read the Bible, pray, study God's Word.
Yeah.
So with the belt of truth. Okay?
Yes. So yeah. So stand firm then with the belt of truth. Stand firm then with the breastplate of righteousness in place.
Okay, so you are free in Jesus Christ. By His stripes, you are healed. Okay? You're not making righteousness up here. It is given to you, and God sees you as no condemnation. Because the devil likes to do that.
Oh, yeah.
He likes to, like, get the self-loathing thing going. You drop the ball, you gave in to temptation, then all of a sudden you get depressed, and then you go, ah.
Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation
so
for those who are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, okay. Then, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
The gospel of peace. I mean, now you're free. I mean, the bondage of Satan is gone. And Satan's trick is to get you and God as enemies. You're stymied. You can't walk. But when you are at peace with God, and there's nothing Satan can do to go in between that, but you're free.
You can stand firm.
And you can run and not grow weary.
That's right. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith.
The shield of
with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one.
Okay. Really, I see this. I see this so much. So much unbelief will be this, like, doubt. It's a bad story, but it's all we have. And then they drop the promises of God, the Word of God, and then it becomes like, oh, I guess we're all going to die and everything. And Satan gets in there.
Right.
And just stymies.
He
tries to stymie people.
Right.
Yes.
And that's
why
we want to be.
See the deception out there.
That's why we want that shield of faith
in
place. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Right. So the helmet
of salvation
and the sword
of the
Spirit.
Which
Bible.
Is the Word of God.
Yes. It's like a walk with God. Salvation. It is just, you know, knowing even who your Savior is. Not go after the pseudo-salvations.
Right.
Because the moment you go after pseudo-salvations, there Satan shows up too. Oh, you think a boat's going to save you? Do you have that boat? There's a better boat. You know, if you really believe that your life is defined by one of the idols, all of a sudden more of those same idols show up. It's a scheme.
Yeah. And then verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Hmm. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Right. You know what prayer is communication with God.
Right.
So if you're communicating with God, the Holy Spirit is in you, and you ask the Holy Spirit to even come in you more. It's like the schemes of Satan. I mean, God, who is bigger and larger and the victorious one, who is allowing Satan even the opportunity to tempt us, if you're connected to him, all of a sudden fear dissipates in a hurry.
That's it.
So the fear of the evil one is, in fact, a real fear, in that it is partially a very important concern. You should respect.
We need to be aware.
Yes. You know, and horror movies and a lot of people create, like, fear is a thing, and a dread, and a lot of people then get into this, and then fear becomes almost like a realm of fear.
Right.
And so many video games are getting into this. So many even cartoons are getting into this. When we grew up, we had cartoons that were sort of way cuter than today's cartoons, even for kids. It's just and Halloween, I mean, that's not our favorite holiday, you know, they call it a holiday.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Because
it's about fear. It's about the devil. And in Christians, we stand, we take it seriously. Actually, the reason I think I don't like Halloween, I'm curious on what your thought about Halloween is I don't like Halloween because it's giving the devil way too much attention, and I take the devil serious. So,
well, a lot of the symbols of Halloween feel evil in their depiction. I mean,
right.
I can't. It's not funny. I mean, it is truly what I see there. You know?
Right.
I mean, like witches and, you know, darkness.
Now, if you're interested to learn more about praying against evil in our efficient class, as well as our ethics class, our two places in our efficient class, they even talk about how to pray against the devil. And sometimes you will meet people who are clearly under the spell or the fear of the devil and the fear of Christian.
Under the power,
The power. No, actually,
and
the power.
The influence under whatever. Depending on how in-depth
and
severe it is.
That serious. So I'm so glad that we talked about this, and I know and trust that God will bless you through learning about how to overcome fear of evil.